The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavor swirling together with cold brew, topped with a velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles, and that imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members.
VIP stands for very important people, and their small monthly contributions ensure that this podcast remains free for all of you.
If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
I sure do thank you for your support. Now, here's your show.
Welcome to Dueling Reviews, a show where two guys sit down with one comic and we go into it in detail. I am Stephen Schleicher. And sitting over there is Matthew Peterson. He's sitting over there somewhere because he's virtually to me and virtually to you. Hello, future people.
I'm on the right side of the couch with a slight cramp in my lower back.
I see.
Indeed.
All right, listeners, we promised you a review. We're bringing you a review of Tokyo Ghost from Rick Remender and Sean Murphy with Matt Hollingsworth as the colorist, Russ Wooten as the letterer, and Sebastian Gerner as the editor on this. This is from Image Comics. This is the first issue, and it was popped up a couple of times. It was mentioned as the Major Spoiler staff pick this week. We talked about it last week as something that looked interesting. I saw it on the store shelves today, and I picked it up and flipped through it, and I was like, why is this something that is popping into my head? And then I was looking. I was like, oh, we're supposed to do this for a dueling review today. So
I'm glad you bought it then.
No, I didn't buy it. We do have a review copy from Image. Thank you, Image, for sending us this review copy.
Oh, that's cool.
Issue number one, This One Last Job. Matthew, give me a rundown about what this issue is about.
What if Judge Dredd and Akira made sweet, sweet love in a back alley and their baby rode a motorcycle?
Ghost. It's certainly got a lot of elements of Judge Dredd, and it certainly has a lot of elements of Death Race. And to me, it was like, what would happen if you took Blade Runner and Clockwork Orange and Death Race 3000 or whatever it is, and that's smashed them together?
In the far-flung year, I want to say it was 2089.
That is correct.
The right page.
Yep.
Basically, virtually everyone in the future Los Angeles, which is totally not Mega City 2. But it has a similar vibe to it. It's the Los Angeles Megaplex Island. Mm-hmm. Everyone has some sort of cybernetic machinery except for one girl, Debbie Decay.
Debbie Decay
is some sort of cop, and her boyfriend is a marshal. His name is LED.
Yeah,
I keep reading it as LED because it's funny because he is addicted to basically his smartphone.
Yeah.
Throughout the entire issue, he's watching shows and on the social media and the stream. And in this future world, they have one final gig that should get her enough money to get him off of his addiction to the media and get out of town. But first, they have to deal with an evil, evil schmuck named Davey Trauma, who is, first of all, very evil. And second of all, has the ability to possess anybody with cybernetic enhancements,
which
so
is
really,
everybody,
the entire everybody but Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
And Debbie is interesting because Debbie not only doesn't have any cybernetic enhancements throughout the story, we see her perfectly willing to sell them to other people as currency to get where she's going. So it's definitely a very kind of a future, kind of a cyberpunky, dirt punky thing that would appeal, I think, to your Mad Max readers and your Judge Dredd readers.
Yeah. And if anybody,
I saw a lot of Martial Law, but then Martial Law is kind of a riff on Judge Dredd.
Yeah. Well, I just got the whole a little bit of what's the Neil? What is his name? Snow Crash and the Wintermute and the cowboys, the hacker, the guy basically invented the hacker genre.
Hero protagonist. Yeah. It's Gibson.
Gibson.
No.
Well, he's one of them. Walter Gibson and the other one I forget too. But yeah, this kind of had that vibe to me. And then of course, with a lot of the look that the clothing and the style that people have going on, it feels like a very late 70s kind of, or maybe even mid 70s kind of vibe to it. It's just a mishmash of everything. And it's
got sort of a retro futurist vibe, which is,
yeah,
you know, what people thought the future was going to be like circa 1982. Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if 82 is the right. I want to say like 79 for some reason, because a lot of those cars that are racing are like old Datsuns and
Corvettes
and stuff. Yeah. It's really weird looking. Here's the thing, though, because it's such a mix up of a lot of different genres, even Johnny Trauma. Or whatever his name is, Donnie, whatever his name is,
Davey
Trauma. He's got a steampunk vibe going on him.
Yes, he's a jerk.
There's so much to take in visually. I think it's overwhelming.
It really is. And story wise, the basic premise, the bits and pieces of, you know, a cop in this world, weird dystopian future, mm-hmm. trying to fight for the man she loves. First of all, I do like the fact that she is kind of the driving force of the story.
Right.
I like the fact that Debbie is really our point of view character, which is interesting in kind of these weird future world.
Mm-hmm.
But Debbie is also a character where I'm finding some things in her portrayal that are a little troubling, because she's this super, super hot, model-y girl in short shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And near the end of the, you know, issue, to try and get his attention, there is a sex scene.
Right in the middle of the street. Well, she mounts him, his pants are down and her pants are down. So,
yeah. But again, it's, you know, that's something where bits and pieces of it are problematic to me. But if you look at the actual breakdown of the story, a lot happens in this issue.
Oh, yeah.
And we've had issues where I've complained specifically that not enough is happening in the first issue.
Mm-hmm.
This is one where so much is happening. The first four or five pages of it. Well, first of all, there's the first page, which is tons and tons of dialogue, tons of bits and pieces. Then there's the big double page spread,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, if you're reading the digital copies,
double
page spreads are kind of
funky,
pieced together.
Yeah.
But this is a book that I would not have any problem imagining being translated from the Italian in an issue of
Illustrated
circa 1988.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's
what I was wondering, because when I first picked it up at the store, I was like, is this like French comic that Marvel had reprinted a while ago? Cyberdoll? I forget what that.
Oh, Skydoll.
Skydoll. Yeah.
Skydoll from the Soleil people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, is this a foreign comic that's been translated? And no, it's not. It's original. But
it's definitely an attempt to kind of tap that same vibe and that same
mm-hmm.
audience.
Mm-hmm. And from the visual side, I just have to give this a big thumbs up from the visual, because it is like super detailed. The part where you get to see kind of the spread of Los Angeles, where they're driving up that ramp and you see the Hollywood sign half submerged in the background and everything. I mean, that image just goes back and back and back and back with all the buildings and the stuff. And it's like you see people celebrating at this little diner called the Not Cox Diner or the Night Cox Diner. And it is just
that's the part that reminds me of martial law, is mm-hmm. those backgrounds
mm-hmm.
at the point where we see the death race and people mm-hmm. dying and being ripped to shreds. And
yeah,
that totally feels like Kev Josephessa on, I can't remember his last name, on Martial Law, which again is probably a reference to Judge Dredd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the visuals on this are really stunning.
Oh, it is. Sean Murphy does a fantastic freaking job on this, and they even say at the end in the back cover that this is their homage to Road Warrior, Judge Dredd, and 13 Assassins. So it's,
about halfway through, we start to see little bits of the world from LED's perspective,
mm-hmm.
and there's a really cool shot where we see Debbie, just barely see Debbie in the middle of the screen, and there's tons of stuff, and he's got his Facebook feed up and all of these other things. And of course, one of the things in the Facebook feed is talking about how Rick Remender sucks at writing comics.
Yeah.
Which I thought was nice, which may actually be a real tweet. I don't know. But it
Well, it does says Mighty King Cobra as the tweeter.
Oh, hush. It seems to have a lot to say,
mm-hmm.
but really most of this issue is exposition and action sequence. Because we get right down to it. By the time we get into Davy Trauma's thing, we're halfway through the book, and then Davy Trauma shows off the once and for all how he's got, you know, a Super Nintendo thing in his arm and a power glove.
And an Atari joystick.
And an Atari joystick. And he uses it to take control of everyone in his little underground speakeasy.
Just so he can kill. Heavy. And that's what he does. He just wants to have mass killings.
He wants to kill everyone, and he especially wants to kill Debbie.
Yeah.
And pretty much the rest of that book is action. I mean,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are definitely references here that feel like something to bits of Akira.
Mm-hmm.
Akira, I guess, yeah. I should pronounce it correctly.
Or you can say Akira. Yeah,
you can, but then you sound like, you know, the guy from the Midwest.
Traumatics, let's traumatize.
Akira. And there are parts where I was a little stunned to see, like, YOLO appear.
Mm-hmm.
There are parts here where they use what I consider to be modern terminology and modern slang that actually made me pull back and go, oh, wait, that's probably, you know, old school.
But that's kind of – but it's Davy Trauma that's saying it, and he's all about this old school. Yeah. And of course, the entire world being a mishmash of so many – different genres and times and styles and everything. I noticed that too, but then I just justified it as, well, that's the character and how he interacts right. with this world and how the world is set up and all this stuff. And it's just crazy explosions and kaplows and prostitutes and blood and body parts. And
if he's 70 years in our future,
yeah,
and he's retro, he may have a retro feel for today. Mm-hmm. And then of course he beats up Abe Lincoln.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, it does get overwhelming. It's a lot for 32 pages, and it's a lot for a first issue.
Mm-hmm.
They manage to give us the setting, and they manage to tell us an awful lot, and an awful lot happens.
Yeah, you know,
this is the equivalent of maybe three issues worth of story under different, you know, comic book style writing. If that's a thing, it's like fighty, but the righty.
Yeah,
but. When you come out of it, it's kind of shell shock. It's kind of, I had to go back and read it again at maybe a slower pace and catch some of the things that I missed. And it's an in your face kind of extravaganza, big thing. And of course, I will say this, the major huge win here is the design of his motorcycle.
Yes, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm going to be drawing that thing in for weeks at a time. But yeah, that's the weird part is I don't really know how I feel because I like all the bits and pieces and I like some of the individual set pieces. I like Debbie. I like the concept. And at the end of the issue, I'm just so exhausted that I can't tell you whether it was a successful read for me or not. Because even now I'm going back through it and I'm on, you know, page 10 and all of a sudden – 15 things have happened and she's told us all about her life and her husband.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's whoop, there's a 67 Camaro blowing up.
I know, right? It's just weird. And yeah, I agree with you. The story, I mean, because it's dropping us into the middle of the world, it mm-hmm. took me probably about 4 or 5 pages, maybe a little bit more, to really kind of stabilize myself and be aware of what's happening. Now in a movie like Blade Runner, you use these big giant expansive shots of flying through the atmosphere, you know, right. of the tower
flaming,
and everything. Yeah. All that stuff.
Cigarettes and the ships.
Yeah. And they do have that here in this piece. We do have those kinds of shots in here, whether it be the giant death ray spread or the city spread that I was talking about a moment ago, mm-hmm. but because it's one panel, it doesn't have the 10-second flyover, you know, the effect
yes.
of letting us absorb everything all at once because the story is very fast paced. So I'm going through reading this going, okay, what's happening next? What's happening next? Let me follow what she is saying. Let me see what's going on. And at the same time, I'm just trying to, in my mind, fit everything together. But then once it clicks, then I'm like, wow, this is good.
Yeah. But if you look at just one panel, I'm looking at, I think it's page 11 where Debbie shows up in the speakeasy thing. And it is a page just so packed with concept. you know, you get to the point where she's thinking to herself in her Raymond Chandler monologue, trouble is all there is in this place. Body pirating, clone incest, snuff prostitutes, Hong Kong suicide slots, clown torture.
Mm-hmm. Clone incest, yeah.
So much. And then she's like, anything for a price. Celebrity programmers, flak executives, water barons, corn commodores, death racers on a final bender. Oh, man, I think I'm losing my consciousness. I'm going to pass it. It really is just a flood of ideas. And it comes across as a flood of ideas, which is great. I mean, it's incredibly enthusiastic. And the art really sells us on these weird weird concepts where all of a sudden someone shows up and, yeah, it's 2089, but this guy looks like a barbershop quartet singer from 1910.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so much, so much, so much. I feel like this is one where I do want to read the next issue. I want to read the next five issues.
And here's why I think the next issue is
scare me.
No, but here's why I think the next issue is going to be so fantastic, because they've completed their last job. Now they can go to Tokyo Ghost, where it is tech free and he can detox, and all they have to worry about are the ninja assassins. So I think we're going to see a complete flip on how everything is presented, in such that we are so inundated this issue that we juxtapose that with the nothingness expanse of nature and whatnot of Tokyo, that I think it's going to be a very interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's just going to be very interesting.
And I agree with you. I think that when we look at some of the books, and especially in today's publishing market, some of the books that have a really slow build and a slow burn, this could have been an arc. This, what happens here, could have set up slowly and built over a 4-issue arc. But an independent book with, you know, a theme that isn't your capes and supers and the stuff that will immediately sell, like a Secret Wars or a Convergence, you do, I think, have to kind of hit all of the gaskets. And that's why I think the shotgun delivery is great.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's something where at the end of the issue, boy, I still don't know how I feel about it. I like it. I want to love it. But it's really, really, really frenetic. So, you know, if I was going to look at it and I'm thinking, okay, do I count it down for being too much of a good thing? It's a really hard decision to make. Mm-hmm. You know, all of the big things in the plus column, the art, the main character, the fact that the main character is a girl, even if, you know, she's a super hot girl in a bra, that's, you know, what are you going to do? That's whatever, I think, is what the kids say today. But yeah, I do want to read more of this, and I do really want to know. I kind of want to know more about the setting in the background, but I also feel like maybe the setting in the background is entirely that. Maybe this is all an incredibly dense set piece. This is something that Remender has given us to throw us into this hyper-stimulated, overwhelming future world,
mm-hmm.
so that as we pull LED, I think his real name is Teddy. She keeps calling him Teddy.
Right.
As we pull him out of that world, hopefully the story will actually deliver on that feeling for us as a reader, to take us out of that world and, you know, detox us with a little bit less and a little bit less, as you're saying. I think that would be great. That would be something that would make for a really interesting storytelling experience.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm still giving this a thumbs up at the end of it, and having some time to decompress and reflect and kind of see where it's going next.
Mm-hmm.
I really like this book more than I thought I was going to. So yeah. I'm saying it's worth checking out if you can handle all of that sensory overload in your face. And
now, this is a mature reader's title, isn't it?
It should be, because there's all sorts of nakedness and body parts and explosions and all that stuff.
There's violence, but we never actually see nudity.
There is a shot at the end of page 5. No, I'm sorry. On the page, whatever one he's looking at, the full blown spread, bottom of page 7.
Where there's that pornography.
Is like, he gave them all the anal warts, and there's a penis and a butt And then there's boobies and drugs. So yeah, this is a mature
all
title.
Right. All right. Yeah, it has to be.
Yeah, I'm not letting my kid read this.
Incest clones thing is probably going to throw you right off.
Yes.
And I don't understand. Is that a clone of you?
Yes.
So you have your own clone.
Yes, you're having sex with yourself.
But I don't want to have sex with me.
So I still liked it. I give it a big thumbs up. I can't wait to see what happens next.
Yeah.
I'm going to recommend that you go out and check it out.
I am too, and I think that I'm going to echo your sentiment about the frenetic kind of because it really does set an interesting tone. And assuming, as I do, that Rick Remender and Sean Murphy intentionally set that tone to put us into that mindset, this is a very successful comic.
It is. If
that happened as a side effect of we have so many things we love that we want to make sure we get in here and so many influences that we want to pack into this issue.
And
it's really hard to tell the difference.
Well,
honestly.
But see,
there's a superhero who gets decapitated too.
That's also part of the preachiness of this book where, and again, you need to read the letters column, the page where they're talking about this, but Remender goes on and saying, this is a hyper version of our current society where we are so obsessed with social media and so obsessed with technology and so obsessed with our phone that this is where
society
we're headed.
Is centered on distraction.
Yeah. So a little bit of this book has some preachiness to it, but I'm okay with that.
Oh yeah. Well, and you know, it's one of those things where they're exacerbating an existing trend and using it for social commentary.
Yeah.
I think we've referenced Loki and Bella once this week already, but it's kind of that same sort of take. It's an extension, whether that extension be logical or not, of things that are happening right outside your window.
Yep, exactly.
Plus Debbie.
Yes.
Debbie is such a cool name. I had a crush on a Debbie in high school.
All right. Coming up for September 23rd, 2015, we have Avatar: The Last Airbender, trade paperback Avatar. Volume 10. Fight Club 2, number 5.
That's number 10 altogether.
There is Hellboy 100 Project. Oh, that is actually pretty cool. That's a trade paper. It's a soft cover and hardcover collection, but it's basically looking at, I think, 100 of the best Hellboy covers.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is worth it right there. And then, of course, Hellboy in Hell, number 8, comes out next week.
Heckboy in Heck, for Power, those of you who are under 18.
Power Cubed, number 1, from Dark Horse Comics, arrives. DC Comics has Batgirl number 44, Batman 66 number 27, Astro City number 27, Flash 44, Grayson number 12, Harley Quinn and Power Girl number 4, He-Man and the Eternity War number 10. And I could have swore I guess it's coming out in December. I think it's December. They're re-releasing Emperor Joker again in trade paperback.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Arrow TV, John Diggle. What is this? These are action figures. The John Diggle, Arrow action figure comes out next week. Greg Capullo.
Diggle in Boogie Nights. He was my favorite.
I know. Right. There is a new Greg Capullo statue. It's actually a second edition of this. It's the Batman black and white statue. It's the Batman black and white statue by, Greg Capullo. And those are fantastic. I probably have this statue already. I think there's only
order a second one.
No, probably not. I think there's only about 5 of the Batman black and white statues that I didn't get. And they were mostly like, I didn't get the Penguin one. I did get the Joker one. I don't know if I did get the Harley Quinn one, but at this point my shelves are so packed with these things. Cause I thought it was going to
have enough shelves.
I thought they were going to go for maybe a run of 25 or something, but this has been going on for 5 years now. Or more. And I don't have any more room for black and white statues. So now I have to be super selective as to what statues I want to get. So,
yeah,
I do have the cool ones. So I have the Mike Mignola and the Jim Lee and the Jock ones. Those are really cool.
I'm the same way in that I have 0 statues. To add more seems like
how many Power Ranger keys do you have sitting around there, Matthew?
190.
All of them? Yeah, 190. Okay.
I don't have all of them. There are some that I still can't get because people want to charge $26 or, in one case, $97 for a 3-inch piece of plastic.
And I know.
I love you, Deca Swan, but I can't spring that kind of money. So if anybody has a Deca Swan Ranger key, podcast@majorspoilers.com.
Yep. IDW Publishing next week, Donald Duck number 5, Amelia Cole and the Impossible Fate trade paperback. That's a 1999 book. Shrinking Man number 3, TMNT, Casey and April number 4, Transformers Windblade number 7 comes out next week.
Windblade is a girl Transformer, by the way.
Oh, is that the motorcycle one?
One of them.
Oh, okay.
I don't think Windblade is a motorcycle. You're thinking of RC.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She also had a cola.
Now, did she? Huh.
Yeah.
How about that?
RC cola.
Huh. How about that?
Steven!
Image Comics, Elephant Man.
No.
Hey, would you rather me say, huh, no seller, wah, wah. Elephant Man, number 66, Empty Zone, number 4, Invisible Republic, number 6. That's mature. All three of those are mature reader books.
Wow.
Oh, I forgot that there was a new Manhattan's Project series going on. Manhattan Project's Sun Beyond the Stars, number 3. Nameless, number 5. Oddly Normal, number 10. Rumble, number 7. Tech Jacket, number 11. Let's see. Witchblade 184. Actually, I think Witchblade 184 is the last issue.
I believe you're right.
I think that comes out next week. I'm almost positive.
Tech Jacket is Kirkman, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I'm almost positive that that is the final issue in the series.
Do we want to cover that?
Yeah, we might as well.
Which blade number 187? No, wait, 184, 187.
Yeah, which blade to end in October? So let me see here. 185 is, let's see. Let's see. Witchblade 185 will feature a main story by regular series writer, and that will be the last one. So, yeah,
we
we've got
to cover the 185.
Let's see what else we got real quick.
All right.
1872, number 3. That's from Marvel Comics now. Howard the Duck trade paperback, 00, What the Duck. Kanan, number 6. Runaways, number 4. True Believers, Silk, number 1. True Believers, Princess Leia, number 1. Oh, those are reprints. Those are these dollar reprints.
Those are
reprints.
Like the dollar reprints.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. And in the rest, we have Arcadia, number 5, which I don't think is any relation to the Dark Horse series. Let's see. Black Bullet graphic novel, Blacklist, number 3. Book of Death, number 3. A bunch of Calvin and Hobbes books are getting reprinted next week.
We could record. We could review a Calvin
and Hobbes. We could, but that's more of a trade paperback thing.
We could review it on the Major Spoilers podcast.
Doctor Who, 2015, Four Doctors, number 5.
Ooh, is that the last issue?
Yeah, that was a 5-issue series, yeah.
Okay, so that number 5 would be the last one then.
Mm-hmm. Fem Force 172. let's see, what have we got? God is Dead trade paperback, Golden Compass graphic novel.
I remember 20 years ago when Fem Force number 100 came out.
It was more than 20 years ago. No, maybe not 100.
Yeah, number 100 came out when the tattered covers was still in the mall.
Yeah.
Down at the end, and I'm like, ooh, number 100.
I probably have some of the first dozen or two of that series.
I have some of the really early ones that are really kind of – the ones that are really, really deep in the old school continuity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where they bring back the Green Turtle and the Iron Jaw.
Yes, I have those
too. And they have the battle with the Black Shroud.
Mm-hmm. John Carter, Warlord of Mars, number 11. Mobile Suit Gundam, original hardcover, volume 11, Cosmic Glow.
That's pronounced Gundam.
I'm going to say Gundam.
Mobile Suit Gundam.
Power Up, number 3. Princeless Be Yourself, number 4. Psycho Bonkers, number 4.
Princess Neil before you. That's what I said now. Princess.
Red Sonja, number 18. Rivers of London, number 3. 7% Solution. That's Sherlock Holmes and the 7% Solution.
Wow.
Number 1? No, that's got to be a reprint or something.
What are we putting in our solution? Is it like salt to water? Or?
I don't know. A lot of people are excited about that. It's based on the book.
I have heard that, yeah.
What does that say? Spire, number 3?
Remember, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the precipitate.
Ha ha, wah wah.
Damn it.
So I guess we could do Witchblade 184. That's fine.
Sure.
She returns to New York City, so we can go find out what's going on there before it all comes to an end. We shall review the penultimate issue, but not the final issue.
I'll get the final issue. You know, it's my job at Major Spoilers to review the last issues.
It's your job at Major Spoilers to review things.
At 184, and I'll put 184 of 184 as an in-joke that amuses me.
Yeah. All right, so that's what we got for next week. Interesting story. Somebody had contacted me a few days ago, one of my contacts, and said, hey, man, there's problems going on with that Gambit movie. Ooh, and I was like, oh, okay, what happened? And apparently, and this is starting to break now across a lot of other sites.
Word on the street.
And this is reason why I don't like rumors, because I would hate to have reported this and then had it not be true. But they are having some money issues. They had a script rewrite, and the script was so good that would have caused the budget to grow and would have caused extra shooting. And so from what I've been told from my contact, production was like, we're not giving you any more money. In fact, we're shutting this down. And so according now to Variety, production was set to start in November, but now has been delayed until early 2016, which means that Rupert Wyatt, who was going to direct the movie, has left the picture.
Which means that we have Channing Tatum without a director.
Channing Tatum without a director.
Wow. In the amazing story of the Cajun dipstick Gambit.
Which is weird, because just at the beginning of the month, and this is how quickly things move, at the beginning of the month, there was a notice that they were hiring a crew in Louisiana for this movie. And that's where my contact came from. He was like, hey, man, I just got off the phone with a bunch of people working on this Gambit movie, and they've all been told to go home, and the production, the studio isn't releasing any more money.
Wow.
So, it shut down pretty quick.
Wow.
This contact is usually right. But again, I don't want to spread something if it's a rumor. So it took me a few days. Yeah, but at least Variety's picked up on it.
Pacific Rim 2 was also
Pacific Rim has also been put on hold. And I didn't have a chance to check out the reasoning behind that exactly. I did see that pop up in my feed.
Yeah, the way I understood it was, I don't want to say it because now I'm
something about Guillermo did something.
Guillermo del Toro. I love that name.
Yes. Let me see if I can find it real quick. I just saw it pass. Like I said, just before we started, I saw that pop up in my feed, and I didn't have a chance to read it. I was like, ooh, this was interesting. But I did see the thing about the Gambit movie pop up.
Wow.
Let's see. Here's what it is. This is from Variety, and Variety is reporting that he committed in June 2014 to making a sequel to Pacific Rim for release in 2017. He was planning to start shooting in November, but Legendary has decided to put the project on the back burner for now. Had no comment on Wednesday when the news of the delay emerged. Universal also had no comment. Film, which had a price tag of $190 million, was released in 2013 and only took in $101 million in the United States. Legendary concluded its agreement, blah, 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 blah. So there is no stated reason why. But now maybe everybody's having cold feet in light of the other studio that kind of went bankrupt a few weeks ago.
What was that?
Starts with an R.
Revolutionary,
is that what it was?
I don't know.
Studio,
I'm literally saying the first studio that I can think of.
Down Revolution Studios, was that what it was? I don't know. Anyway, probably not Revolution Studios, but we'll figure it out at some point in the future. All right, everybody, there you go. That is your Dueling Review for this week. Next week, Witchblade 184. We'll see what happens there. And I'm looking forward to Tokyo Ghost issue number 2. And keep checking majorspoilers.com for all sorts of news and reviews. And, of course, spoilers.
Spoilers.
We have a brand new unboxing video up today of the brand new War of Light Dice Master set, if you want to see that. My son was super excited. He came home and saw that video, and he's like, oh, I can't wait. And I was so nice. I was like, well, guess what? Instead of just buying one starter set, I bought a starter set just for you. And then after homework and bath and everything, he just took the box, went into his room and closed the door. And my wife went in and she came out. She goes, he's got everything spread out all over the floor. I'm like, good. I expected him to. And then about 20 minutes before we started recording, he came out and sat down. And I'm like, so did you figure it all out? He's like, oh, yeah, there's some cool cards. And he started rattling off this deck that he made. So he's got it all planned out. He's going to kick my butt like he did last week whenever we played at home. So it's fun playing with him. He's smart. He's a smart kid. So
very cool.
A lot of other things going on at Majorspoilers.com and a lot of other podcasts going on at Majorspoilers.com. All of this stuff can only be made possible with the support of our Major Spoilers VIPs. VIPs are very important people to us.
That's yous guys.
That is yous guys. Here's the thing. I would really love to have more VIPs. I would love for us to hit 1,000 VIPs by the end of the year. That's 3 months. Somebody today on Twitter said, hey, look, $2 a month is nothing for me to spend. In fact, I think he's a gold member. I think he does $10
a month. Yeah, I want to say he said $10 a month was...
But for him, $10 a month is nothing. It's less than the cost of a pizza. $5 a month is like two sodas these days. Two cans of Pepsi.
Yeah, I can't drink the Pepsi anymore.
I can't either. But it literally, your $5 a month can help us out and allow us to do more stuff and to hire more people and to create more content for you and to keep current content that we have ongoing and continuing.
There you go.
I'm going to ask you. The 1,200 of you that are listening to this right now, I'm going to bet 200 of you are already VIPs. I'm going to ask very nicely, tell me if this is nicely, the rest 1,000 of you, could you please sign up and become an ongoing VIP at a $2, a $5, or a $10 a month pledge? We would really, really appreciate your support.
There you go. I think that's nicely.
So let's get 100%. Yeah. If we got 100%.
Next week, we'll bring Rob in, like one of those things that they do for the Humane Society.
Yes, you're 10 cents per day.
Pony.
Your 10 cents per day can feed Rob.
He's rapidly running out of time. Won't you please help? If we can get to 1,000 VIPs, we won't have to have Rob put down.
And we can get what's her name to sing a song?
Yeah. In the eyes of the gazer.
Whatever she's saying.
it's in the eyes of the angels, away from here. La-dee-doo, la-dee-dee-da.
Here's the thing.
Need me up here.
If you don't want Matthew and I to continue to sing, then
I sing all the time.
Point your browser, please. Point your browser to members.majorspoilers.com. Sign up today. It only takes you a couple of minutes, but your continued enjoyment for months and years to come will be played out. And thank you so much for indulging us in that last little bit of stuff. And until next time, keep reading comics. That's what we're going to do.
Our list.
No. We're going to keep reading comics.
Yes.
We want you to well.
Do.
And we'll see you next time.
Word.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.